Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And we are at April 4th. Whoa, April 4th. This is a neat day for our family. My son, Josiah, married a Russian gal. She lived in Moscow. She was born and raised in Moscow, then moved to Brooklyn with her father. And my son, Josiah, met her in New Jersey. And I got to perform the wedding on April 4th, 2004. So it was 4-4-0-4. They've been married 3 years today. Congratulations to Jana and Josiah. And they both have joined the Army. And Jana's back from basic training, and Josiah's still in at Fort Benning, and then he's going for airborne training, which is all very exciting, and we're very proud of the both of them to join up in the military, even at a time of war and uncertainty. So that takes courage, and we're thankful for them for doing that, along with all the others who are fighting for our country and our freedom. So happy anniversary. Okay. The one of the issues that, of course, has been huge is global warming, and it continues to be huge because it's a way for the left to try to control us, and it's a bogus issue, but it's a major issue nonetheless, and it's absurd the things we end up talking about. Now, I think in the last 2 weeks I've read two emails from a musician from Indiana, and his name is Neil Copley. Neil is a longtime friend of Bob Enyart Live, and every once in a while he sends us off an email, and I just have to read another from him. This is the third. We get a lot of emails, by the way. You could send them to bob@kgov.com. bob@kgov.com. We can't reply to all of them, but we do read all of them. In fact, there are three of us who read through the emails. So please feel free to send your thoughts, comments, questions. Now, Neil sent this email. He said that on Friday, March 30th, a caller to Rush Limbaugh's radio program mentioned the global cooling scare in the 1970s. Now, by the way, there was a book titled, what was it titled? Global Cooling? The Coming Ice Age. And I have that book. It's a hard copy book. And we've talked about that repeatedly on this show over the years. And was it Newsweek magazine was all in a panic that there was a coming ice age, global cooling. And so this caller told Rush about the global cooling scare in the 70s, and the caller thought that no one had ever heard of that before. And so Rush played along and said, oh, really? Wow, wow. But then Rush asked this question, Neil is reporting. Rush said, if global cooling were the problem today, do you think that Al Gore would be encouraging everyone to drive their SUVs and burn fossil fuels to try to warm up the earth? And Rush said, of course not. Al Gore couldn't bring himself to do that. And that's a pretty funny observation, right? But Neil Copley points out, and Neil is an expert. Why is that? He's a musician at a church. So Neil's an expert on this thing. He's a great observer of human nature. Neil points out that Rush missed the bigger point. He said, as I recall, Neil writes, the cause of global warming then was the same as the cause of global warming today. And so we had to shut down our comfort, prosperity, and freedom back in the 70s to solve global warming. And now we have the same problem today. Isn't that funny? So no matter what the crisis is, the liberals have the same solution to everything. Restrict America's economic freedom. That's their answer. Okay, pretty good email, Neil. Now, there is a magazine put out by WorldNet Daily. There's a magazine put out by WorldNet Daily called Whistleblower, and it's just a great monthly publication. And the current issue, ending abortion, has some extraordinary articles in here. And so I'd like to talk about them And I like to do that with their managing editor, David Kapelian. David, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
I'm glad to be with you, Bob.
It's real good to have you on, David, and thank you for your part in this battle, which is one of the issues we've talked about on the air for 15 years. In fact, it's one of our key issues.
Yes.
Ending abortion, that's the cover, how the pro-life side will win the war. So, David, could we talk through a few of these articles? I've listed maybe three articles in an ad I'd like to ask you about.
Sure.
But first, tell us about WorldNet Daily. Not everybody in the audience knows about WorldNet Daily. It's a leading source on the Internet, independent source for news. But tell us about WorldNet Daily and Whistleblower.
Well, WorldNet Daily is, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary right now, so we've been around for a long time. It's generally considered the largest independent news website in the world. We've got about 6 million unique visitors. That's 6 million different people that read it. It's a 7-day-a-week, you know, internet newspaper. It's WND.com or WorldNetDaily.com, and it's very popular worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And then Whistleblower is the monthly print magazine that WorldNet Daily puts out. And basically, what's kind of different about Whistleblower is that every issue deals with just one topic. So this issue that you want to talk about, the whole issue from beginning to end, is about abortion. And particularly, it's about what is actually working out there in the real world, not just some ideas pie in the sky, how are we going to end abortion. It's happening right now. What are people doing that is they're saving lives and shutting down abortion clinics and ending this scourge? That's what that issue is about.
All right. So here are the things within this issue that I'd like to talk to you about. First, the editor publisher of Whistleblower and of WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah, he has an editorial in here which is extraordinary about a woman who shot her full-term baby to death. I'd like to talk about that. And then blood confessions. For example, Bernard Nathanson, a doctor who's a founder of NARAL, has admitted that much of what they said back then was just fabricated lies. And then there's an article here that's based on your extraordinary book, The Marketing of Evil. Like to talk about that. And then finally, there's an ad, a full-page ad toward the back of the magazine, and it's 40 years, 50 million dead, one commitment, an ad from Colorado Right to Life. So can we talk through those four?
Sure.
All right, let's start out with the editorial from Joseph Farah. There was a woman in 2006, this is in Virginia, she shot to death her own child in her womb. Could you tell us what happened in that story?
The principle of it that you want to get to is that how could she not be prosecuted for shooting her own baby?
Exactly.
And what we have here is the situation where the people that are so rabidly in favor of abortion, and I'm not talking about the vast majority of Americans, most Americans are against abortion on demand, which is what we have under Roe versus Wade. Most Americans are either against abortion all the time or they're against it, except in cases of like rape and incest and life of the mother. There are only about 26%, poll after poll says, of people that agree with the extreme Planned Parenthood, NARAL, now Roe versus Wade position that all abortion is okay. However, now here's where this case comes in. For the extreme, pro-choice crowd, if they allow any, if they allow the slightest slippery slope to event, in other words, if you say that that fetus is a baby or has any right to life, even if it's like 5 seconds before it's going to be born naturally and it's the most extreme case, they cannot allow it to be considered human. This is why they favor partial birth abortion, which is a baby halfway out of the womb and you're killing it and crushing its skull and sucking its brains out. It's so barbaric. Why do they support it? You might say, well, why don't they say that's no good, but everything else is okay? Because as soon as they open the door to showing that that baby inside the womb is actually human, they feel like they are in danger of losing everything. So that's why we have these extreme decisions where, you know, a judge says, okay, that you shot your own baby in your womb, because that judge does not want Roe versus Wade to be overturned.
In
and
this,
that's the slippery slope principle.
In this baby girl, she was due to be born that very day, February 23rd, 2006. The mother put a gun to her abdomen. shot and killed the baby. First she said she had been kidnapped and shot that way. Then she said it was the baby's father, and then the police put together the truth, and she admitted that she shot and killed her own baby. And this general district judge from Virginia, James A. Moore, couldn't even allow her to be charged with some misdemeanor charge like producing a miscarriage or an abortion, just absolutely nothing.
Right, and this is why things like the Lacey Peterson, remember, double murder, they
right.
that charged Scott with the murder of Lacey and the unborn child,
mm-hmm.
and why this is so controversial, because they, again, they don't want to give any humanity to that unborn baby, even if, as in this case that you're talking about, the baby was due to be born. This was not like a,
right.
you know, a quote glob of tissue that was only 24 hours old. This was a full-term, beautiful, totally formed baby with fingers and toes and burping and peeing and the whole thing. It was a real baby, murder, infanticide,
and
first degree, and yet it was nothing because they can't open that door to allowing that fetus to be called human.
And we're talking with the managing editor of Whistleblower, David Kapelian. And as you just mentioned, David, Connor Peterson, the baby, so when the unborn child is recognized as a person, the personhood of the child with rights, then that destroys the argument that you should be able to kill that unborn child.
It terrifies them. So
right.
If that unborn baby in the womb is human at 9 months, well, what about 8 months? What about 7 months? It's a slippery slope. They don't want to get on that slope.
Okay, so now the article, Blood Confessions, The Problem. You guys tell people about the founding of NARAL. There was a Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who's now a hero to the pro-life community, but he was chairman of the executive committee of NARAL, and they basically lied. They flat out lied about, for example, the number of women who died every year from back alley abortions.
Correct. This article, Blood Confessions, is actually, Bob, it's from my book, The Marketing of Evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's chapter 9, and it's a very brutal chapter on abortion. And in it, you know, I not only interview Bernard Nathanson, I have interviews with 8 different abortion doctors and abortion clinic nurses, many of whom, like Nathanson, have performed literally thousands of abortions.
Right.
So this is not a matter of, you know, the pro-abortion side saying, oh, this is a bunch of hogwash, they don't know what they're talking about. No, they are utterly silent in the face of this kind of testimony, because these are people that are there, that have been steeped in it for decades. If you've performed 10 or 15,000 abortions, the other side shuts up because they simply, it's the credibility is irrefutable.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing, all 8 of them, are they are annihilating the abortion industry and showing how it is basically based on deception and lies and incredible selfishness from top to bottom, and always has right from the start. And as far as you mentioned Nathanson and the founding NARAL and the abortion lies and marketing, well, basically, NARAL, you know, is this wacky group today, but back then, we're talking in the 1960s, NARAL was the wacky group. It was the abortion vanguard movement that actually got abortion legalized in New York State before it became legalized in the country in 1973 through Roe versus Wade. And what Betty Friedan and Bernard Nathanson and Larry Leder and the few, you know, beginning vanguard people in the abortion movement, what they did was they created this organization and they created these slogans. And I mean, think about this. Here's Bernard Nathanson sitting around the proverbial smoke-filled room, and he says, we made up these slogans. Women have to have control over their own bodies.
Mm.
You know, reproductive rights. And you know what he said to me? This is a direct quote. He said to me, I remember laughing when we made those slogans up.
Mm.
He said we were looking for some cynical, sexy types of slogans that we could capture people's imagination with.
Right.
And that's exactly what they did. You know,
well, one of the greatest marketing accomplishments in the history of the world was bottling Coca-Cola, putting Coke in a bottle, so you change literally the face of marketing. One of the most extraordinary moves socially was to rename the killing of an unborn child as a pro-choice right.
Yeah, you can make the argument that the reason we have abortion legalized with the 45 to 50 million babies that have died since Roe versus Wade is because of a single word, what you just said. Because, look, from a marketing point of view, what are they selling? They're selling dead babies and really hurt mothers.
Mm.
How do you package that?
Right.
How do you perfume and package that to make it seem like a good thing?
Right.
Well, obviously, you can't talk about dead babies and hurt mothers. But what are you going to talk about? You have to create a new issue. They created an issue that never existed before, the issue of choice. It was no longer a matter of, is this a moral choice? What happens to these babies? Is it really a baby? What happens to the mother? And now, of course, there's irrefutable evidence that it's awful for the mother. But they simply created a new issue of who's going to choose, and they framed it so that who's going to decide these most personal issues of a woman's life? Will it be the woman and her doctor or a bunch of politicians and bureaucrats in Washington, D.C.? Well, when I phrase it that way, it sounds like, wow, I'm kind of sympathetic with the mother and the doctor. But I was supposing I said, who's going to decide whether, you know, a man should be able to have sex with a 10-year-old? Is it going to be that 10-year-old and what he thinks and that man, or is it going to be politicians and bureaucrats in Washington, D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's a little more ragged. So, well, wait just a second here. You know, but you know what? They're equally evil. Okay, one is a corruption and it's a predation on a youth. The other one is deceiving mothers and killing unborn children. They're both, you know, horrible. They created these marketing slogans and they have worked tremendously. And you know why they worked? Because the news media, my colleagues and the press, then, as now, believed that abortion is a important, enlightened, progressive cause. And therefore, they went along with the pro-choice label and all the arguments that the pro-choice movement came up with and uncritically reported them.
Sure. Generally, what motivates both sides, the pro-abortion side, is motivated by a rejection of the authority that comes from God. God said, do not murder. And they get angry when you even mention God or his authority. And they believe that we've evolved from animals. There are no absolute right or wrongs, and that everything is relative, and man could decide right and wrong on our own terms. So
you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
and also, you know what else? Besides rejection of God's authority, they're also motivated by money.
By money.
A very, very lucrative business.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But we also, that's absolutely true, a multi-billion-dollar business. Planned Parenthood is a billion-dollar institution in and of itself. But even Hollywood will quite often put some kind of an immoral, destructive theme in a movie or a TV show, and it might even cause them to lose advertising sales, but they still do it because deep down they're in rebellion against God. So it's money, and it's a rejection of the authority of God. So the two sides, David, you have the pro-abortion side, which says, don't tell me what to do. And you have the pro-life side that says, don't murder. And we're fighting over the personhood of the child. Even in Roe v. Wade, written by Harry Blackmun, he makes the point that if the child is a person, then you cannot kill that baby, not for rape or incest, not for any reason. You can't intentionally kill that baby.
Right. And, you know, Bob, also, let's mention one other factor. Why do we have to have legalized abortion? It's because it's because of the sexual freedom.
Sexual immorality, right.
We basically took all the, what we call Judeo-Christian values that have guided Western civilization for the past, 3,000-4,000 years, and we just tossed it all out the window and said, you know what? That's all stupid. We know better. We should be able to have sex with whomever, of whatever gender, whenever we want, in any circumstance, no matter what. And you know what? That's fine. You can believe that if you want. But if society is going to accept that we're going to have that utter sexual freedom, then you have to have abortion legalized.
Well,
it doesn't matter how many times that Fox News Channel shows the partial birth abortion graphic of little babies getting their brains crushed and all that. It doesn't matter. You're gonna require to have that last ditch, effort if birth control fails and all that. You're gonna have to have abortion legalized.
And David Kapelian, I think that is tremendous insight. In fact, you just hit on a factor that's even greater than the money factor. In fact, when you look at the issues that motivate the left, you find that sexual immorality is behind so many of them. Abortion is sex without responsibility. Animal rights is that, hey, people are animals too. Animals do it. Homosexuality, they say, look at dogs. Dogs will act in a homosexual way, therefore we can. Evolution is people, men and women, are animals, and so we could behave like animals. And it goes on and on and on. The major issues that motivate the left are issues that lead or promote sexual immorality.
You're right. And you know what, Bob? Let's face it. They don't like God. In other words, they don't like, that sounds a little silly to put it that way, but they don't like the idea that there's a power and authority greater than them.
Exactly.
Who's making the rules. They don't want to have, from their point of view, an implied threat that if I mess up, if I don't follow the rules, I may end up in a fiery hell forever. They don't like that.
Right.
They don't like the biblical values that say keep sex in marriage. And so, therefore, they want to deny the existence of God.
Well, yeah.
And so they can have their, basically be their own God.
Well, look at something as different from the topics I just mentioned as welfare. The government pays to raise the children conceived by men having sex with unmarried women. That's mostly what welfare is all about. Sex without responsibility. Welfare is practically like the government paying a woman to have sex with a guy she's not married to.
Yeah, and the problem is that government today is so out of control. It's all about power. It's like addicted to power. The more dysfunctional people are out there, the more we need government, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like William Penn said, if men are not ruled by God, they'll be governed by tyrants.
Mm.
And so if we were all, let's put it this way in a positive way, if we're all self-sufficient and self-governed, in other words, governed by God and immoral and so forth, we wouldn't need all the welfare and the clinics to help all of our sexually transmitted diseases and all these things. But government, there's something about it that is lust for power. So maybe unconsciously, we have this sort of this system that promotes immorality and dysfunctionality, like you just mentioned, welfare. The welfare system for a long time has been set up so that it encourages people to not be married and to have children out of wedlock and so forth. And that's really awful.
Now, David, on the front page of WorldNet Daily today, there's an item about the reviewers at Amazon.com and their comments about your book. Like you said, this particular article, Blood Confessions, The Problem, it comes out of your book, The Marketing of Evil. And I want to let you know that one of the board members of Colorado Right to Life, Lolita Hanks, is bragging about your book to everybody. And, in fact, she got me a copy of it. And I'm very thankful. And this article goes through basically giving a highlight of the reviews at Amazon.com, over 200 reviews. And this is a groundbreaking book to help people understand what's really happening in the culture around them.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll tell you, the key word you just said is understand. We really need to understand what's going on around us, because a lot of good people, they see that things are going to hell. I mean, they see that our country has just been transformed in our lifetimes, from the way things were, 50, 60 years ago, the World War II greatest generation, to what they are now. But we don't really know why. We don't know what hit us. And that's what I'm doing in this book.
So
I'm really,
David,
going through from a journalistic point of view and showing, I'm showing the actual marketing techniques and tactics that have been used to persuade us that up is down and right
now,
is left.
David, we don't have much more time, but if somebody wants that book, is the best way to get it to go to worldnetdaily.com, WND.com?
Yeah, they can go to, it's as you said, it's on the front page of WND.com right now. They can get it anywhere. You can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any bookstore. But if you want to get an autographed copy, no extra charge, you can get it from WorldNet Daily, and that's the best place to get
that
it.
That sounds great. And then finally, in just the last couple minutes, the full-page ad by Colorado Right to Life, I realize it's not an article, it's an ad, but are you familiar with it?
Yeah, that's the one they want you to sign a commitment, basically saying, I'm not going to compromise
on God's enduring command, thou shalt not murder.
Yeah.
And you know what's extraordinary about this? They've been pointing out, Colorado Right to Life is going for a new vision in the pro-life community. And they're pointing out that 40 years ago, the strategy that the pro-aborts used was to destroy the personhood of the child. That was their strategy. So the first law, 1967 in Colorado, legalizing abortion, was basically for the hard cases for rape and incest. And so what's happened very subtly over the last 40 years, as we pro-lifers have been fighting to stop abortion, we've sort of changed places, and we have adopted the strategy that the pro-abortion forces used 40 years ago. We're saying, vote for these candidates and vote for these laws, support these laws that outlaw abortion except for the hard cases, rape and incest. And so we've got men now coming on board with this movement, like Professor Charles Rice from Notre Dame, constitutional law expert, and he's pointing out that when we have judges and rulings and laws and candidates who say no abortion except, what they're doing is destroying the personhood of the child in the mind of the courts, the government, and even the media and the people at large. And so we have to reconsider, when we're trying to stop abortion, what are we doing when we say no abortion except if the baby's father's a criminal?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's a tricky thing to... Because there is a certain wisdom in doing things incrementally,
but you've got to
do it without compromising your principles.
Exactly. Compromised incrementalism will undermine our very effort to victory. We could be incremental, but we have to do it without violating God's enduring command, thou shalt not murder. Hey, David, it's an honor to have you on the show. I want to thank you.
Oh, I'm very glad to have been with you.
Okay, so whistleblower and... That's at worldnetdaily.com, WorldNetDaily. That was David Capellian, managing editor. Of course, Joseph Farah is the editor and publisher, not only of Whistleblower, but of WorldNetDaily, a leading news source on the Internet around the world. And we have events coming up. Wow. Focus on the Strategy 2. I'll be presenting that in Colorado Springs on April 12th. This Sunday morning, Sunrise Service, Denver Bible Church, contact the church for information. On April 21st, there's a pro-life banquet, lifecommercials.com. Mona Sharon will be there. Call us if you'd like that. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. This is Bob Enyart.